Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful music, and good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone had enjoyed sleeping in maybe a little bit extra this morning, and now you're ready to stay awake for me. For the message today, I want to take a Sabbath walk during the millennium. I know none of us at this point know exactly what this time period will be like, but let's dream a little. The millennium, as we know, is a 1,000-year period represented by the 7 days we celebrate each year. And if we divide those 7 days by the number of years, take 1,000 divided by 7, that makes each day that we serve or that we're here into 142.85714-2857 years. That's kind of hard to keep repeating, so I'm going to just say 143 years. So with this day being the fifth day of the feast, with 5.96 years per hour, here we are nearing the 20th hour of this feast day. This puts us 690 years into the 1,000-year period. So the title of this message is 690 Years into the Kingdom, a Sabbath Walk. What will it be like? We hear so much about this 1,000-year period in a general way. What do we know about this period from Scripture? So let's review. You see, this all starts with what we read in Revelation 11 and verse 17. So if you turn to Revelation 11, 17, it says, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. So we know that Jesus Christ is reigning at this time. So let's look at some of the changes that are going to take place during this 1,000-year period up into the 690th year. Having good, clean water is critical. I don't know how many of you, wherever you live, water pollution is becoming more and more critical. And we know that I was reading the other day that there's so many plastic particles in the water we get out of the water bottles that it's starting to clog people up. But that won't be necessary in this time period. Let's turn to Isaiah 41 and verse 18 through 20. And through this message, I'll be reading quite a few scriptures because it's always safe when we preach by reading scriptures. Here in Isaiah 41 and verse 18, it says, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree, which in some versions says the olive tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree. You know, it's easy for us to gloss over some of these things, but I want us to stop for a second. A cypress tree, where do you see cypress trees? Are they in the middle of the desert? No, they're not. They're in a swamp somewhere. You see, a mature cypress tree requires 880 gallons of water per day. 880 gallons of water per day. And the pine tree takes 10 gallons per 1 inch of trunk diameter. And here, these trees are going to be what used to be the desert. and continuing on, and the box tree together. The box tree here is mentioned as more likely a cedar tree, which was prevalent in Lebanon. And then in verse 20, it says, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. You know, we talk a lot about various things of the kingdom, but just look down to the trees in the desert and the various things that God is going to do at that time. Now let's turn on over to Isaiah 60 and verse 13. Isaiah 60 and verse 13. It says, the glory of Lebanon will be yours, the forest of cypress, fir, and pine, to beautify my sanctuary. My temple will be glorious. It's interesting here in talking about the temple that the word that this wood used in its construction, how great will that temple look? Now let's just think of the beauty in the forest where the deserts used to be after 690 years. You know, we live right in here. We have a lot of trees. But the farther west you go, the less trees there are. But think, after 690 years of Christ's rule, how beautiful everything will be. But then let's look at the reconstruction projects that have to take place. Because as we're talking here, we're talking about 690 years into this millennial period. In Isaiah 61 and verse 4, we read, and they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Just think of the massive job that that's going to be for mankind. You know, it doesn't stop there, because we have various indications of what it's going to be like. It also says there's going to be a new language. You know, when we look at the world today, there's over 1,000 languages. It all started with Babylon, and now it's all coming back under one pure language. And we find this in Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. It says, or God says, for then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Eternal to serve Him with one consent. When you look at the language today, even the English language, there are so many words with different spellings that mean different things. And sometimes it's hard to understand what is being said. But just think, with one pure language for the world over, what that will be like. It doesn't stop there. And this message is intended to be a review so that we think about how wonderful that time will be, just like the other messages are. But this is a more basic message, things that we may have heard 50, 60 years ago. I know as a child, 9-year-old child, I heard some of these things, same things being preached back then. What's the need of doctors and medicine going to be in that time period? Well, we can find out by reading in Malachi 4 and verse 2. In Malachi 4, verse 2. It says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. That is an interesting passage. You know, I find myself, I'm becoming like that already. but it's too early yet. One of my favorite scriptures right there, stall-fed calves. Just think of that concept. Now let's go to Jeremiah 31 in verse 3. I told you there's going to be a lot of scriptures, but I know that when you're preaching through by reading the scriptures, you're not going to go wrong. So in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, it says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice.'" We see in this life, we see the blessings that we receive for obedience from God. And those blessings will be there also during that time period. Let's drop on down to verse 10. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, 'He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he.'" We look at the world today, and those nations would be the nations of Jacob. Look at the troubles that are in all these nations, the problems that are taking place. But we know that that's all going to change in this time period, from the time of Christ's return all the way through. "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and new wine and oil, for the young of the flock and the herd. Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all." You know, as times get rougher and rougher in the world today, we need to make sure that we keep this vision that we read here in Scripture in the forefront of our minds so that we can withstand what is coming. Verse 14, "I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord." You know, in that time period, we heard a little bit about it today. We've heard more of it throughout this week with Jesus Christ ruling, how everything changes in the world. Now I want you to turn to Isaiah 35. Talking about this same time period that we're mentioning. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. It says, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose, and it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice." How many of you raise roses in here? Show of hands. How many of you ever been to a rose garden? I know when I lived in Texas, Tyler was called the rose capital of the world. They had a garden there that had some of the most exotic roses. There's also a place in Orlando where they have such exotic roses. And I love to see how beautiful the roses can be. But just think what it's going to be like in that time, that future time. Continuing on, it says, "Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God." Then he continues, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees." You know, all of us as we get older, then You know, the knees are getting more feeble. I see that in myself. And I'm sure that all 200 and plus seniors that we have here probably feel that too. Then he continues, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. You know, this is talking about that period, but it also is something for us to keep in mind, because none of us know what's going to happen on any given week. You know, it used to be we thought these things were far off. But look at how the world has changed in the last 25 years. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. And I did a little research here. Well, how high can a deer jump? Well, they can jump 7 to 8 feet straight up. Any of you that have a garden probably know that. It's like, how are they getting in? Well, they can jump straight up, standing jump. Guess how high they can jump if they're running? They get a running start. Well, a deer can jump 12 feet. 12 feet high if they get a running start. So now you know why these deer are getting in your gardens, even though you have these fences up. And the tongue of the dumb, meaning the mute, will sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Reeds don't grow in the middle of a desert. They grow in marshes, on riverbanks, and along lake shores. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Do we have that vision? Do we have that in our mind? I think ever so often we need to review those promises that God gives to us. I like the way the New Living Translation translates this passage. It says, and a great road will go through that once deserted land, and it will be only for those who walk in God's way. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the esteemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, we live in a world where there's so much sorrow, so much death, so much sufferings, and that's all going to pass away. You know, the first few years in this millennial period, there's going to be so much changing and so many people that have been damaged, the living, the physical beings that are damaged. You know, those of us should be in the kingdom as kings and priests, like it says. But just think of all the hurt that we have to help for people to recover. Now I want us to go to Isaiah 58 and verse 8. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. It says, then your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily. you know, those of us that have health issues, what a wonderful thing it will be, or those that are physical at that time, that their health will be like it should be. I know we've been here a couple times already, but let's go to Ezekiel 37. And we're going to read here in verse 21. Where it says, "Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, wherever they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land." You know, the future that we've read about so far, those of Israel will be coming into that. "And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. And they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again." So that animosity between the 10 tribes and the nation of Judah and Benjamin and Levi, that time, that will be over. And they will all be unified completely. But when we look at the world today, we look at what's happening and how so many of the Israelitish nations are condemning Israel, the nation of Israel, which is Judah. You know, that will be over. Verse 23, "They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And as we have read earlier in this feast, "David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." And they're going to dwell in that land that God gave them to Jacob and my servant here in verse 25, "where your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever." Forever. They're not going to be run out of that land again, like we see now, where there are those that want to run all the people of Israel, the Jews, out of the Holy Land. But we know that that's going to end at this point. "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace," verse 26, "and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." In the midst of Jerusalem. And that's not going to go away. Nobody's going to overthrow it. It's not going to be destroyed like it has been in the past. "My tabernacle shall also be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The nations also will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever." Unlike what it is today, there won't be any question about where his sanctuary is. Now let's just think about the amount of work necessary to get ready for the great white throne judgment period. What kind of a job is that going to be to prepare? Just think of all the many cemeteries that will empty all at the same time. Those folks will need clothes, food, shelters, etc. And where are we going to put all these people that come up? The figure of 100 to 120 billion is a rough estimate of all the number of humans who have ever been born. Do you think we'll be sitting around? Or do you think we'll be busy preparing for that time period? You know, I don't think these construction projects are going to start 10 years before that time period. I think at 690 years into this 1,000-year period, I think we're going to be busy planning and getting ready for all those billions of people that will be resurrected at one time. Let's turn to Micah 4. Micah 4. And let's look at verse 1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations will come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion the law shall go forth." You know, it'd be one law. Those of us that live in various states, you know, some of the laws are different. But think about it with the nations now, how so many of the laws are so far different. But it'll be the same. "For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." We live in a world that's at war, whether it's a personal war, whether it's a nationwide war. And you look at the populace all having to try to protect themselves in some way or the other. And we look at the atrocities that are done by people that are killing undefended people at this time. You know, some of them that we've seen in the last few months are just horrific. But in verse 4, "But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people will walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." So now let's go back and pick up where we... Now you stay up there. I don't know about that one. Little visual effect here. Now let's go back to that verse 4 and let's imagine what that's going to be like. It says that everyone sitting under his vine and his fig tree. So here we are, 690 years into the millennium. And you are sitting under your vine and your fig tree. Some of my family and I had a glimpse of what this was like. In 2018, we went to the feast in France. And we stayed at an Airbnb. And soon after we arrived, the host there brought us out onto their patio. And above the patio was a grape arbor all the way across with ripe grapes. And so the host cut down clumps of grapes and let us all eat them. For me, that was a wonderful thing. And that's what we see pictured here. The people sitting under their vines and fig trees. And let's go back to that traditional scripture. It's been read here already, but I'm going to do it again. Because it's important for us to think about it. In Isaiah 11 and verse 6, It says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Most of us probably know this passage by heart. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. You know, this word fatling, you don't hear that term anymore. But it refers to the choice animals that are ready for slaughter. These animals are the tastiest of animals, the ones that the lions would naturally go after first. But then we see a young child shall lead them, and a cow and a bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. You know, this is a passage that we've probably heard, depending on how many years we've been here. For decades, we've heard of this passage. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So now, let's imagine. You're under your vine and your fig tree, and I am too. So you and your neighbors are sitting under your arbor with the cool wind blowing through the grapevines, the ripe clusters of grapes above your head ready to be eaten. You see the neighbor kids playing with snakes. And for a second, you think about the old times where they were in danger of being bitten. Then you remember that prophecy in Isaiah 11 where they are no longer in danger. Also on your patio is your pet lion, lying there like a house cat, taking it all in. Then he comes over for your neighbors to scratch his ears. When he decides that is enough, he comes over to you and attempts to sit on your lap. All 400 pounds of him. And the shedding of hair. Ugh. Can you envision that happening to you? That is what glimpse that we get from these scriptures. And it has to come alive in our minds to help us through difficult times. So as we look at the millennium, this time period, we can see a summation of what that wonderful time will be. With Satan having been bound for 690 years, there will be no more deception. People will only speak the truth with each other. The truth will be taught everywhere. In the schools, in church, and in the new government, no more religious confusion. There will only be one religion, unlike today when there's more than 1,000 different ones. All eyes will have been opened to the truth. Humans will become teachable. People will have been living God's way for over 600 years. They will all know the way of peace, of happiness, of well-being, of joy. Crime, sickness, disease, pain and suffering are gone. Imagine that. Poverty, ignorance, banished. Think of the smiles on people's faces as they get together. Can we even envision that? Or has the world so messed up our thinking that we can't even come to that? The children will not be looking sad. The children will be happy. Their parents will be happy. The whole world is a totally different world at that point. No longer will there be wild animal attacks, unlike the two fatal bear attacks in the next state over in Arkansas in the last 2 weeks, and the one in Tennessee. I don't know if you've read about that, but that's the world we live in now. We won't ever have to worry about hearing of that again. We won't have to worry about the air we breathe and all the plastics that are everywhere. After 600 plus years of rich black soil, where deserts and mountains and seas formerly were, with proper soil management, the food will once again be filled with full-flavored nutrients. Won't have to be taking all these supplements to try to get what should be in the food, but is not. The air will be very clean, crisp and pure. And with proper care, there will be fantastic beauty in the flowers, shrubs, and trees. You know, the place where we stay right now, there's two dead trees. That's the trees that we look out our back patio, two dead trees. That won't be like that in this time period. At that time, the world will be filled with happy peace and loving humans, guided, helped, protected, and ruled by former mortals made immortal as first fruits into God's kingdom. After 690 years, all humans alive will have been taught that they too may inherit everlasting life in the kingdom of God, living in the family of God forever. What a fabulous picture we can see projected into the kingdom after Jesus Christ's return. Let us never let that knowledge of the truth slip out of our minds because of trials, health problems, persecutions, and what we currently see happening in the world. We need to keep that vision. It is going to happen because God is faithful. Let us always keep this vision. Let nothing diminish that dream now and in the future. So as we celebrate this feast, we picture that future reality when Jesus Christ returns to set up his kingdom, which will grow and grow until it encompasses the entire universe. Think about that. Not just this earth, but the whole universe. What a great picture these days paint for all of us. Now, go home and rest, as you're probably tired from spending nearly 5.96 years of that millennial period listening to me. But think about that picture that we all can see in the kingdom of God.